Ithaca presents Dear Oliver, An Unexpected Friendship with Oliver Sacks. Written by Susan R. Berry and read by Rangan Altai and Jonathan Keeble. A Haunting Question.
Oliver Sacks, M.D., 2 Horatio Street, hashtag 3G, New York. 22nd of February, 2007. Dear Sue, thanks again for your astounding first letter, which was so rich and so vivid in so many ways. You are really a great letter writer. This, indeed, is how we became truly acquainted, and this bodes very well for your book. Most of my books have started as letters to colleagues or friends, then, and I think of the book as a letter to everybody, at least to anybody who might be interested. So, for me, the epistolary is an essential element of writing and communicating, and I suspect that this may also be so with you. Oliver.
By the time Oliver Sacks wrote these words to me, we had been exchanging letters for more than 2 years. These were physical letters, written on paper, sealed into envelopes, and sent through the U.S. Postal Service. I was in my 50s and Oliver in his 70s when we began to write. I was a neurobiology professor at Mount Holyoke College, while he was a neurologist and best-selling author, well known for his collection of neurological case histories. With each stop at the mailbox, our late-in-life friendship grew. Together, we wrote over 150 letters. The last were exchanged 3 weeks before Oliver died. We all reach important crossroads in life. Some are obvious, such as when we choose between jobs or places to live. Others are detours that seem minor at the time, but turn out to be life-changing. When I sent my astounding first letter to Dr. Sacks, I had no idea of the enduring impact it would have on my thinking, my work, and even my identity. Yet, I almost did not send that letter. The letter started out as an entry in my vision diary. Up until age 48, I had been cross-eyed and stereo blind. Most people aim their two eyes at the same location in space so that the information from each is combined in the brain into one three-dimensional image. But my eyes did not point in the same direction. Instead, I looked with one eye and suppressed the information from the other. As a result, I did not see in 3D. Without stereo vision, the world appeared cluttered and compressed. But after several months of vision therapy as an adult, I learned to coordinate my eyes and see in stereo depth. The change was revelatory, and I kept a journal in order to record the remarkable changes in my vision. Finally, I had the idea to flesh out my vision story in my diary, in the form of a letter to Oliver Sacks. I knew Dr. Sacks first from his books and admired the way he wrote about his patients with such insight and empathy. But also, I had met him in person. About 9 years earlier, my husband, Dan, who was an astronaut, talked with Dr. Sacks when he visited the Johnson Space Center. We then invited him to a reception before Dan's first space shuttle launch, and I was thrilled when he accepted. At the reception, we talked for all of 5 minutes, but Dr. Sacks asked me a question that haunted me from that time forward. As I went through vision therapy and experienced one visual epiphany after another, I grew increasingly confident of my answer to that question and held many conversations with him in my head. The diary entry was an extension of this inner dialogue. It began with his question. Dear Dr. Sacks, we met on January 10th, 1996, on the eve of my husband's, Dan Barry's, first space flight on shuttle mission STS-72. We met at Florida's space camp, where I hosted a party for my launch guests. During our conversation, we talked about the different ways that people perceive the world. I mentioned that my perception of the world was a bit different than most because I saw with only one eye at any one time. I was strabismic, and my view of the world was purely
Sample complete. Ready to continue?